You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Welcome to Psyched by MG. This is Mary Grace Randazzo-Ratliff, or MG for short. I've been a psychotherapist in private practice for 32 years now. Guess what, everyone? We all have issues. So it's time to lighten up and move forward. Let's stop letting our crap control us and take control of our crap.
Hello, everyone. Oh, my goodness. I've got Dave right here.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, David Wright.
Hey, you're back.
I was thinking of something.
What were you thinking of?
How many years of experience in therapy do we have between the two of us? I've got 32 years.
Okay, so I graduated in 92, so I'm not far behind you. So I'm 28 years.
Damn, dude.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Shoot. Well, hello, David.
Now they made me feel old. Let's just cut the
sorry cut about out now. Oh my goodness. And we've got Jamie Flanagan here helping us out.
Hi.
Thank you, Jamie.
Thank you for having me.
Dave. And I you know, want to mention Jamie because, you know, we're going to talk about this coronavirus stuff today. And something that I'm calling corona stress, all the stress that I'm sure Dave is seeing, like I'm seeing in our practice.
Absolutely.
And hearing on the phone with friends and family. And we have Jamie, who's a teacher. So he's got, you know, the front lines going and in trying to figure out a classroom, I guess, that's video.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. We've, you know, the governor said all schools in Michigan are closed. And so we packed it up and told kids to take their laptops. With the school I'm at, we're really, really lucky because we had the infrastructure in place. The kids all had a device. Kids from K through eight have an iPad, and every high school kid has a laptop. And we all, everybody from, you know, gym class, welding class, cooking class, you know, math, science, social studies, everybody has a Blackboard site set up, a digital classroom already set up. We had this before this because we do a lot of online learning with our kids. So we were better equipped than 95% of the schools out there for what's going on and doing this online. There are other schools we just see people scrambling. And even being as prepared as we are and as connected as we are with our kids still, they're still absolutely freaked out.
Wow.
Yeah.
That, I mean, that's the thing. And, you know, my teenage son, we're Plymouth Canton, and he's had no schooling at all. Like they can't. And they're working now really hard to get Chromebooks to everybody. So this thing, like you said, just happens so fast and is escalating so fast. And even getting ready for today, oh my gosh, things are changing day by day so quickly. And in working with clients, you know, different issues are coming up to the point, I don't know about you, Dave, but my head is spinning.
Oh, it's been a very, I don't want to say challenging, because it's challenging in a good way, but a lot of people needed to talk this week. Let's say that.
Yes.
But the whole other kind of difficulty, and I'm sure you're having the same thing, is getting everybody switched over to not be here in person.
Yeah.
So everything's by phone or online now, and that, you know, having an entire office with
systems,
just getting that all into place over the past week has been challenging.
I mean, truly, there's so transitions in itself, which we talked about on the last podcast. It's just so stressful. But when you have so many transitions that are happening to families, teachers, medical people, I mean, it's just constant transitions. And I know for myself, I've been trying to take mental notes and I'll think about, okay, that's something I want to talk about with people. That's something I'd like to guide them with. And, one thing that kept coming up, I don't know about for you, Dave, this week, but all of my clients practically were talking about the panic when they go to the grocery store, the stress of the grocery store experience.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I first heard it, I was like, yeah, that would be stressful. You know, people can get into that very deprivation cycle where there's not enough and you can start to worry. But it was so many people said, oh my gosh, I went to the grocery store and I had a panic attack. I was so anxious.
Well, and the big thing to remember is there are a lot of my clients who do that on a normal basis when nothing's going on. A grocery store is challenging for them.
Yeah.
Do it now with this added pressure. It just builds up.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I was talking to a few of them, you know, who are so, you know, they're sensitive to begin with. You know, there's a wonderful book. It's called The Highly Sensitive Person. I just have to point for a minute. You know this book, Dave.
Well, actually, the first book in that was The Highly Sensitive Child, which was definitely, and then they did the sequel to that, The Highly Sensitive Adult.
Person. Yes. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, it's a form of giftedness. This is not a book that is pathologizing anybody or talking about a disorder. It's about that there are people who are so sensitive in two different ways, basically. One is a very physical sensitivity where like my husband can hear a high pitch on the television from like the second level. Like it drives him nuts. And I don't even know what he's talking about. Or, you know, he can't wear certain sweaters because it just drives him crazy.
I'm one of these people. I cannot have tags on my shirts.
Oh my God. Yeah.
I can't do it. I have to cut them out. And if it's not cut right, I can still feel it.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Again, tagless t-shirt.
Your skin is so sensitive. And then there's the emotionally highly sensitive person. And I'm on that side of the spectrum where you can, you too, Dave, you probably got both, but where you walk into a room, you can just feel something's wrong. Nobody's saying much, but you can feel that tension. And
then you wonder, oh, is it me?
Yeah.
were they just talking about me? Is that
when you first get started and don't train that a little bit, you could be paranoid. But I was listening to especially a few of my clients who are, you know, back in the day, we used to call it kinesthetic empathy, where you can read a vibration in the room. You can read emotions off of somebody pretty well. And I started to think about it and I thought, oh my gosh, with all the fear going on right now, they're going into these grocery stores and picking up, you know, have all of the people's anxieties and tensions and adrenalines in that grocery store and not really differentiating very well. What are you really afraid of? One person that I talked to was telling me that it was so weird. I knew everything was fine. I knew I had choices. And yet when I went into that store, I was such a wreck with a panic attack. And I said, well, you're also got that high sensitivity thing going that you're around these people that are nervous and struggling and stressed. And some of that comes out as anger, frustration, paralysis, confusion. I mean, all the different ways that it's coming out in the grocery store, the workers there. I mean, when I went, and it's been over a week now, they were just venting about how they can't keep things stocked and they hope they don't get sick. And I remember my anxiety was increasing. So I think a lot of that too comes from, and this all
ties into what is happening in the world right now. It's fear of the unknown.
Yes.
Because again, for people who are not usually anxious, they can go in the store and when you see empty sections, no one's ever seen that before. No one's ever seen shelves that are cleared of everything. And that can be like, whoa, this is new. Yeah. What is happening? Yeah,
it feeds that panic. Mm-hmm. So you have that going on. You have that visual, you know, stimulation of, uh-oh, there's nothing there. And that feeds fear. Mm-hmm. And then you have everyone around you emanating fear. And so here are these panic attacks. And, you know, I sat with it and I thought, geez, what could people really do with the grocery store dilemma? And I told them, I said, you know, before you go in, first of all, take a deep breath. Definitely slow down. Uh-huh. don't walk fast in there. Don't, from a physical standpoint, you and I, Dave, we know not to feed adrenaline.
Well, yes, yes.
And so don't walk fast. Slow down. You've got to really be aware of yourself when you're in there. And you need to say to yourself, a lot of people are nervous. I know everything is okay. And just focus on your list and breathe. But most importantly, don't feed the adrenaline. Don't go fast. Don't start to worry. I often will, we talked about this, Dave, you know, think about all the choices you really have. So when you're looking at that empty shelf and it's toilet paper, we were laughing about this in the last podcast.
Oh yeah. Oh,
my God, people, there's so many options. Like really everything's okay. You can use old washcloths and throw them in the washer. I mean, everyone is going to be okay in the toilet paper phenomenon. But that you have choices so that you can drop that anxiety. I mean, I truly had so many people.
Well, and the other big thing with panic attacks, especially in public, and this is all perception. It's all being mindful of what's happening.
Yes.
You know, when people are having a panic attack, the feelings, the increased heart rate, the sweating, the feeling like you're going to pass out, all of those things that go with it.
Racing thoughts, pressurized speech.
But the fear there, a lot of it is that everybody is seeing this. Everybody is watching me. And nobody knows that.
No.
Everybody around looking at you at all. And that's a lot of the fear that kind of compounds a panic attack is, oh my gosh, what are people I must look like, I feel. And that's not the case.
You don't. And, you know, backing up with going with panic and anxiety, you shallow breathe. Mm-hmm. And so if you don't get a good deep breath in, you are feeding from a physical standpoint that panic attack.
Yeah.
And you have to tell yourself you're okay. You have to get your brain off of that fixation in order to feel better. And if it doesn't get better when you're in that grocery store, get out, get into your car. You know, I tell people, scream and yell if you've got to when you get in the car. What a pain in the ass it was to be in that grocery store. Holy shit, what is wrong with people? Why are they taking everything? Do what you got. But if you get that emotion out, the anxiety will immediately drop, or cry.
Back to things that people can do. And you mentioned one is just breathe.
Yes.
Slow down.
Yes.
Slow your breathing down.
Yes.
Again, you know, if you're prone to being nervous or anxious, bring somebody with you. Have somebody there to support you.
Oh, that's a really good point.
Don't do it alone if that's something that you know brings out your anxiety.
Yes, because you can go and choose to the grocery store. You know, if you're living in the same house or, you know, you're exposed to each other, I think that's a really good point.
Right.
And the other grocery store phenomenon with this corona stress is that people are getting aggravated. And I want to do a whole thing on the increase in anger, but just to give a tidbit, some people turn their fear into anger, as we know. And
absolutely.
I think real time to remind people, don't personalize other people's behaviors right now. People act all different ways when they're scared, and you can't take it personally. Yeah.
And it's great insight because here's the whole thing. And I say this a lot to clients, especially when they're focused on somebody else's behavior or their actions. And actually, I say this to my son a lot because, you know, they're high schoolers. There's a lot of criticism. And I said, you know what, before you get into that, think about where this kid comes from.
Right.
Maybe he doesn't have a great home life. Maybe they don't have a parent who's around all the time.
Right.
And again, just to kind of change your frame of reference is, you know, they're struggling with something as well. And at least it gives everybody some commonality that, hey, we're kind of, and here's the other thing. And these are as much bad as I've seen during this crisis. I've seen a lot of great things where people are reaching out and helping one another and offering support and doing what they can to make people feel better.
Yes, they really are. I mean, going back to teachers for a second, we had this, the lovely teachers here of Isbister and Bird Elementary School, they did a parade through the neighborhoods.
Okay.
You know, they had signs up and they, somebody dressed as their, you know, mascot, the bee for Isbister. And everyone came out and was just, and they were honking their horns. And I thought to myself, wow, that feels good. Mm-hmm. That key of connectedness will lower anxiety. Like that remembering that we're all connected and that you really are okay. You really are okay. You have control. Like you need to do what they're telling us to do. And that's isolate, that's washing our hands, that's, you know, hand sanitizer. I make my family, now that I sanitize the house, I have bleach wipes by each door. And if they go to the garage and they want to come in, they got to wipe their shoes with the bleach.
Just put a disinfectant shower right there or something. Right there.
I took my husband went grocery shopping today. I said, listen, when you get home, you are to take off your shoes, wipe them down with bleach, take all the bags, spray them with the Lysol before you bring them into the house. And wipe when you can. Anything you're putting away, try to wipe. I told them.
So it's an episode of Silkwood there at your house coming in and out.
Yes. Yes, it is. Yes. You know, Governor Cuomo in New York made this comment that, you know, a few of my Italian friends got a hold of me. And he said, clean like you're ethnic. Well, what he was really saying is clean like an Italian because we're nuts. Like there's something wrong with us. We are looking at everything. It's crazy. So, but I think the not personalizing people's behaviors right now, I think we all need to do that because everyone is so stressed. And, you know, it's kind of like there are phases going on because like a week ago, people were dealing with, wow, is this really real? Kind of coming off of shock. You know, this is really real. And wow, the kids are really going to be home. And now the governor said we have to, you know, be in the house. And so the shock kind of wears out. And in the shock phase, everybody freaked out with toilet paper and groceries. And now I feel like people are getting into the whole sanitizing thing. And, you know, what do we have to do? I had a friend who had to take her daughter to the urgent care because she cut her hand open.
Oh, boy.
she called me from the car because they don't let both parents go in.
Right.
They only let one. And she said, I'm sitting here in the parking lot. And for me, this got really real.
Well, yeah, and you don't know what situations are going to make it real for what for each person. Each person is different. Right. This is going to go in stages. And here's the other thing that people need to kind of look at. And if you can understand this, at least you can kind of, we don't know what to expect. And that's the scary thing. But we do have an idea of what it may look like. And I think that's helping people right now. Because right now we're quarantined. We're supposed to be at home. A lot of people are, unfortunately, a lot of people are out of work that don't have a choice. You know, again, we're fortunate because we can do our work by phone, not ideal or online. It's not what we like, but we can still do it and help people. People are at home. So that at least they're kind of getting used to, okay, what is this going to look like for the next few weeks? So at least now they know. Then we're going to hit another. We're going to hit another wall at the end of this 3 weeks because just my personal opinion, I base it on nothing except what I think. This is probably going to be extended.
But at least
people know then, okay, this is what it is. I don't have to be fearful of this part because I know how this works now.
Yes, exactly. And what to do, I mean, that moves into the next thing, Dave, with this quarantine. I'm seeing a lot of people experience entrapment. They feel like it's entrapment, not transition.
Right.
And entrapment is I have no choices. I can't do anything. I'm stuck. I'm isolated. I'm imprisoned.
or even in the opposite of isolated. Now I'm confined with all these other people that I don't spend all my time with, even though it's family or spouses or kids.
Mm-hmm. It's
like, wow. Okay. We're spending way too much time together right now.
I know. Oh my gosh. I have to digress for a second. Did you see, I think I saw it on Facebook, the father who it put up day 8 or day 10 of quarantine, and he had duct taped his children to the wall.
No.
It was day 8. And then on day 10, he had duct taped them again, but he duct taped their mouths shut. And the caption was, father, you know, in quarantine day 10. I thought that was so funny. But
hopefully that was a joke and not something that was.
It was a joke. It was definitely a joke. The way the kids had writing on their duct tape.
You know, as a mandated reporter, I might have to, you know, right? I might have to make a call on that.
Oh my God. I bet their jobs
I'll be right back. I got to make a call.
Yeah. All right.
That whole entrapment issue was the next really big issue that I'm hearing about it with clients, but I'm hearing about it with friends. And to clarify the difference between, look at guys, we're in transition. We still have choices. We still can get in the car and go for a drive. We still can walk outside.
And these are the things I'm telling my clients. Just go for a drive. You can be outside. It's not wrong to be outside. Take a walk. Yes. Walk your dog.
Yes. Yes. You know, that's right.
There's tons of things you can do outside. Go to the park. Go.
Yes.
Just sit somewhere.
Well, and to turn this into creativity, this is a great opportunity for creativity. And you can see the people, like the teachers, are getting so creative right now.
Yes.
And I almost want us to follow that lead. There's a website, is it called Neighborhood Something, where you can find activities that are going on in your neighborhood and find a good plumber and stuff like that. And so they are doing, you know, this is going to start Safari Week, where you put stuffed animals outside for the kids so that when parents are going for walks, they can turn it into a safari hunt.
Just don't touch them.
Yeah, of course. I've got the bleach wipes and then I have the Lysol spray. Right. I have the Lysol spray.
When you put yours out, they just go to the garbage.
I have Lysol spray for everything. I sprayed the bear down once because I had to bring him in from outside last night because it was raining.
It is a one-way trip for Mr. Bear. It is. Adios.
Oh, yeah. After this is over. That's true. Poor bear.
Oh.
But yeah. And people are writing on their sidewalks.
Right. I've seen that.
Messages to people.
Well, I mean, and I know the news station, WWJ, has put out this 6 o'clock song thing. I don't know if you've heard that.
I haven't.
I forgot what they call it exactly. It's something about 6 o'clock. They give a song in the morning, and then supposedly everybody at 6 o'clock should go on their porch and either play the song or sing the song they give you.
Oh,
I don't know. I think this might have come from Italy.
This is from the Italy thing because they were all on their balconies.
Yes, that's where it came from.
Music and singing to one another. Mm-hmm. Wow.
And again, a way to connect without having to be right next to each other.
Oh my gosh. You know, that's another thing. A friend of mine, yesterday was a tough day in the office. I treated, you know, people in the medical field and just heard just really tough stories yesterday. Mm-hmm. And a friend of mine, you know, I texted her. We tend to cuss a little, and I'm like, "Oh, this is shut up, Dan. This is effing bullshit." Oh my God, I just have to vent. And so this morning, she sent me this meme, or no, it's not a meme. I can't tell the difference between the GIFs and the memes. I don't know. The guy does a funny voice. He's Italian, and he sings. You know, he does this whole Italian skit. It's funny as hell. And I thought, oh my God, I laughed so hard when I woke up. And I did think to myself, you know, that was such a great thing. I'm going to have to let her know that. Like sending something funny right now was awesome. And we can do that for each other.
Mm-hmm. You know, well, and the other great opportunity there is now. And again, I know just being a therapist and guiding clients and saying, listen, it's tough to be off of work. You have stress about not making money. What's going to happen? I have to file for, and all these things that, and I'm like, you have time to do something like just something simple, read a book, watch a movie that you wanted to watch. Just escape for a little bit and just
make
the best use of the time that you have. Do family stuff at home.
Yeah.
And I know,
and if you're worried about your job, then say, you know what, for 3 hours today, I'm going to get on Indeed. I'm going to get on, I'm going to learn more about employment opportunities and different ways to go. You know, you can empower yourself to broaden yourself, to create the choices instead of feeding the panic.
And unfortunately, those end up being great choices at times, but most of the time, it's like a career change, let's say somebody's in an industry they just don't like anyway. And they're like, oh, maybe this is a good time to look for something else. Most of the time, those changes don't happen unless you're forced into it.
Yeah,
and sometimes that's a good thing.
Because Dave, we call those divine interventions.
And making changes.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, it truly is that old saying, you know, when one door closes, another one opens. And
my dad was a blue collar worker for years. He worked at Great Lakes Steel here in Michigan when I was growing up. And I don't think they had age discrimination laws back then, but he was like 52 and they just dismissed all the people over 50. They said, okay, you're done. Mm-hmm. And so he was like, what do I do now? So he went back to school. He became a nurse. He was an RN when he was 58 and worked for the rest of his life.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that something?
A situation he was forced into, but he said, I've always wanted to do this. This is what I'm going to do.
Yeah. I had a guy when I had a procedure done and oh my God, I don't know how good he was at it, but he used to be a plumber and it was during the recession of 2006. And I was getting ready to go home. So they had to take all the monitors off me. And he's like, yeah, I used to be a plumber. Rip. I'm like, dude, what the hell? Like that skin. He's like, yeah, I feel like the quicker, the better. Just like when I used to work in my field, he goes, the quicker, the better. I'm like, and rip. I'm like, Jesus God, dude, you're freaking killing me.
I look like a sink.
Oh my God. And then I'd laugh and he thought that I was really being funny. So he thought he could keep doing it, but
oh boy.
But he went into nursing during the recession and changed.
Okay, so tell me you don't take Band-Aids off slowly.
Slow. Well, really? No. It depends. I kind of do the rip thing too. Yeah.
No, faster is the better. Just get rid of the pain.
Get that damn thing the hell out of there. With the kids, I'm like, just take a nice deep breath. Boom.
Oh, but that doesn't apply to you. Okay.
What was I say? Not as I do. Okay. Yeah, okay.
That's right, Matt. That's right. Damn.
So Mary Grace, David, so I teach high school and I teach a few sections of English 12. I have about 110 English 12 students out of our 340 of them. I have 110 of them. And they're turning to me, a lot of them. It's and I don't know why anyone would, but they're turning to me. and some of the kids are freaked out, and some of them it's a mixture of depressed and angry. It's a mixture between the two, and it's like, why us? Why is this happening to my senior year? Why is this happening to our graduation? Why?
Yeah.
Why us? This isn't fair. And I don't know how to answer them. You know, you see things online. It's like, well, if this was 64 to 70, your graduation present would be a trip to Vietnam, you know, but they don't care about that. I mean, not that they don't care about that, but it's not their graduation. So what do I tell them?
I think the key is to listen to them first, because a lot of people will need to do that at some point in this corona stress. Mm-hmm. Like to just be able to say, God, this sucks. Like this, are you serious? We just started 2020 and this is how we're going into 2020. I mean, what the fetch, for God's sakes, people, to let them vent that. Yes. And then the key is you got to make sure that they don't sit there and to say, you know, you unfortunately are experiencing adulthood. I mean, you really are. That things hit. I had to deal with this with my son. We had, what was it called when somebody brings a weapon to school and they went into lockdown?
Okay.
Well, he unfortunately had like two or three in a week.
Oh boy.
And he came home pretty rattled. They were stuck in their room for a couple of hours. And he's like, man, mom, this is ridiculous. A senior said to me, you know, I feel so bad for you that this is the way the world is. He said, my whole time in school, I never went through this. And I let him just vent. And then I said, yeah, bud. I said, you know, each generation goes through their stuff. They really do. And then I talk about other generations and what we go through. And it's always scary. It scares us, but we don't have to live there. Right. Things will change. Things will get better. 9/11, they said we'd never fly again. Well,
What's interesting about this group of kids is this is the first group of seniors that were born post 9/11. Last year, there were still a couple before and after. So these kids were all born in the sunset there of 9/11. They were born that year after. So their lives have been impacted since the beginning. They don't know a world without it. You know, I'll ask the kids, you know, December 7th, what's important about today? And they're like, well, I don't know how many days of Christmas. They don't know what it is. But 9/11, they still know.
And to also, you know, let them know what an important time period this is. Like, this is a part of history.
Oh my goodness.
They are a part of history right now. And to really encourage them to write about this, their feelings, their experience, because this is history in the making right here.
I
think the other thing, the other good thing, Jamie, that my son's a senior this year, so I'm experiencing the same thing with that a lot of these kids are. He's a little less, how should I say, he's a little less invested in all of the school stuff. I mean, for him, I don't think he cares if he misses prom, but prom's important to a lot of these kids. And I know, just again, most school districts are going to do this. They'll make something that they will try to do something to make it special for them. Whether they do prom in the summer, that could happen. And I know Woodhaven has been talking a lot about combining graduation and prom. So that people are still looking out for them.
That is such an important point, Dave, that they're not alone, that we're all in it together. The adults are still there for them. You know, seniors go through that definite fight of, I'm so happy to be getting out and I'm afraid to become an adult and be out in the world. And we have to keep reminding these kids, like, you're going in the world, but you're not going alone. You are not by yourselves when you do this, and you keep turning to us. We support you as you gain more and more independence, because they get scared. And in the senior year and in the junior year, it's that struggle of, well, do I share or do I talk or do I just handle it by myself? And I always say to my teenagers, no, I'm really glad you're talking about it, because when I get stressed, you're going to talk about it. And talk about stress as you get older. It's something that isn't a part of adulthood, where you are so independent that you don't need the support of other people and guidance by other people. I think that's the other key there, Jamie.
One of the other things that I think is going to be a big adjustment for all school kids, not just seniors, but even younger kids, is that they're used to a structure. They're used to things happening. You're used to getting up at a certain time every day and going to school. The difficulty here, and I've stressed this to parents, is you have to keep some kind of structure for them, because regardless of what kids think, if you just let them do what they want to do,
it's
in their minds, it's great, but it's not really.
Because
I'm not criticizing activities like video games or movies or YouTube or whatever, but 10 hours straight is not really good for anyone.
Yep. I've made my teenage boy go for a walk. You know, my 17-year-old, he fights it, but he doesn't. You know, they'll go like, oh man, really, mom? Like, really? And I'd be like, you know, I know you don't want to be seen with your mom, but we're going to walk. Nobody's out there.
Why just send my kid with a dog? I'd just say, hey, the dog, he wants you to take him for a walk. And then he can't say no, because now he's like, oh, I can't do that to the dog.
Darn dog has a heart condition, so now I can't go on these walks.
Oh, no.
So I'm kind of screwed. But yeah, I think the key again is reassuring choices and going over with adults and kids create your choices. If you're starting to feel that entrapment trigger, I want you to sit down and develop choices. If you want to be touching base with people, I gave an assignment to a person this week and I said, look, you get a hold of your best friend and have dinner together on Skype. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my God, I never thought of that. I said, yeah. I said, did you know that Netflix has watch parties?
Mm-hmm.
You can sign up. I said, there's so many, get creative. We are not isolated from each other. We can't be in the physical presence right now, mm-hmm. but we have ways to connect that are above and beyond any other time period.
We're doing it right now.
I know.
And we usually do this podcast in a studio.
Yes.
Which again, is fun and convenient, but we're able to do it.
Yes.
Even though we're all miles apart.
And I got through my anxiety about doing it. Right, Jamie?
You were scared. I had faith. I had faith you could do it.
He was like, no, we're going to do this. And I'm like, oh my God. Oh,
I was a bit worried.
Well, once Jamie said, I'm going to be there with you, I'm like, oh, okay. All right, cool. Dave and I don't have to figure this out by ourselves.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Well, and Mary Grace, you just need to do it the first time. That's
right.
I mean, remember your first podcast?
Yeah.
What? We're doing it now?
Oh my God. Jamie scared the shit out of me. He looks at me, goes, okay, let's do your first show. I'm like, are you flipping kidding me right now? What the hell, dude? What the hell? I'm like, okay. Cause I wanted to impress him. Okay, sure. I can do this.
Inside. So Chris, Jamie used to be a plumber. He just ripped off the Band-Aid and here we are.
There we go.
I was the adrenaline after I did that was so high when I was in my car. I thought, oh my God, I should work out when I go home. Oh my God, that was so funny. I'm going to go to another thing that I really saw a lot this week. And that mm-hmm. is for people who have been through trauma, for people who have lived through all kinds of different abuses, whether it's difficult marriages, gone hungry as a kid, neglect, this stuff is triggering as hell.
Mm-hmm.
And having to help people with their anxiety, OCD, fixations on things, anger, it really, Dave and I can teach in an office a person how to know when they're triggered. When a situation is happening, but your reaction to it is so intense, it doesn't fit the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And we call that a trigger.
Yeah.
And, you're experiencing something, but in your brain, it's alarming you and saying, oh, this is like when this happened or that happened.
And not even necessarily consciously. These are subconscious thinking patterns
that develop
over time.
And that's what makes it so hard to deal with is because the person isn't aware.
Mm-hmm.
So my husband, here's a classic example. I will use myself. My husband texted me and said, are you watching the NFL channel? I said, no. He said, because it's costing us $10 a month. I thought I could get any football game I wanted and you can't. So it's like, screw it. We're not going to pay for that. I still got to use my Fire Stick, right? So he gets rid of the NFL channel.
Uh-oh.
But with it goes my investigation Discovery Channel. Oh my God. You'd have thought somebody cut the power to the house by the way I reacted. I turned it on. And I flipped to my channel because I'm all into that on the case with Paula Zahn and Dateline and 2020. So I turned it on. It says you have to have a subscription. So I go to my husband. I'm like, oh my God, we have a serious problem. And he's thinking, Jesus, what happened? Are you all right? I said, I don't have my channel. Like, I don't have it. We're in a pandemic and I don't have my flipping channel. We have a serious problem here. I go, what did you do? What did you do? And he goes, okay, honey, calm down. He has to deal with this shit all the time. Calm down. He said, I care about that you have it. We will figure it out. I will call the cable company. And if we have to switch, we'll switch. So I leave and I'm walking away going, what the hell was It was a freaking station, for God's sakes. Oh my God. That's a trigger.
Well, sure. Now, the big question is, where does that come from? Because that's what we lead clients to.
Well, it's the same thing I think that people go through in the grocery store when they say, oh my God, I'm losing something. I don't have enough of this. Mm-hmm. And that body, a little switch. Because I grew up with poverty and I grew mm-hmm. up with struggle. And there were times that my mom had to go to the church to get food.
Like,
really mm-hmm. blue collar.
Yep.
Bringing. It was a tough time. And so when something is missing like that, I'm triggered.
Well, again, because and if you like a lot of our clients, not saying you did this necessarily, but with a lot of our clients, they go from step A, which is losing that one thing, to the end, which is losing everything.
A billion.
That's where their mind goes.
Everything's gone. Oh my God. Oh my God. We're going to lose the cable. Oh my God. I don't have my freaking channel. I can't watch Paula. I can't watch Dateline.
Well, at first it's a cable. Now what if the electric gets shut off? Now what if we don't have a place to live? Now if I have to live in my car? What if I lose my job? It's like a runaway train. And once it gets going, it just goes there. And that's what you have to be conscious of.
Yes.
To say,
you're feeding the fear.
It doesn't have to go that far. It doesn't have to go that far in your mind.
No. And I, by the time I went up the stairs, I started laughing at myself, which... I cannot say it enough. Humor is such a gift. Like you really, when you do the shit, people laugh. It is funny as hell when we act like this. It's comedy, people. It's freaking comedy. I was walking up the stairs thinking, what the fetch was that? Jesus Christ. So later on, I went to my husband and I kind of sheepishly said, you know, honey, I'm really sorry. He goes, it's okay. I go, some switch got just flipped.
Uh-huh.
It's okay. Uh-huh. Listen, we're switching to WOW. We're going to get it back on Saturday. I said, thank you so much. Now, if I were to feel embarrassed about acting that way, and if I didn't evaluate what I was doing, we probably would have been in an argument. And mm-hmm. that's what happens mm-hmm. to a lot of couples.
Right.
You'll end up fighting over something small, not recognizing or asking yourself, wait a minute, what is this really about?
Well, and let's put that in the context for clients, especially that, because that's the part where the communication has to happen.
Yes.
Because say that you weren't aware of this trigger and you just went off.
That's right.
And your husband would have been like, whoa, what did I do?
Yeah, I know.
Then he gets defensive. Then he would get angry instead of, and again, you acknowledged, oh, you know, and if he knows where that comes from, that I just had this fear trigger. It just happened to me.
That's it.
And he knows your history. So he can understand that.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. It's the key is, I think the first step when you're finding yourself being more intense than you should be for that situation, that you take a deep breath and be gentle with yourself. Don't start beating the shit out of yourself, because then you're going to get shut down and you're going to get more defensive and you're going to think things that are probably not going on. And then the key thing is to say to yourself, what is going on with me? What is this? What am I afraid of right now?
Mm-hmm.
What do I think is going to happen? What if I didn't get the Dateline channel for the rest of this pandemic? What would happen to me? I would adjust.
Yeah. Right.
I would adjust. And I'm good at adjusting.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to take that step back and really say to yourself, no, there's more to it. You got to give yourself credit, because people don't do that unless something is going on with them. Mm-hmm. They just don't know what it is. And it could be as simple as, I'm so fatigued tonight. I've had 120 students. I'm exhausted. My brain has been drained for the last several weeks. I'm burnt out and I'm going to be short. I don't take it personally.
Well, in the end, the communication is the key thing, because if you lay that out there and say, hey, you know what? I believe me, I do this all the time. I'll even say to my wife sometimes, I'm like, yeah, I'm not in a conversation mood right now. I said, it's not you. I need some alone space.
Yes.
And you just have make that clear so that there isn't the conflict that comes from that later.
Yeah. Yeah. To take time, and to, you know, that is totally okay to say, you know what, I don't even know what's going. The other thing I tell couples to do, especially or people who are living together, you know, a lot of times the clients will come in and they'll say, God, the wife will say, oh my God, I had a hell of a week. And he says, I had a hell of a week. You know, it was bad. And they're both fatigued. They're both exhausted and they fought and they want to fight and they want me to referee. And I'll say, do you guys even know what to do when you're both so drained? They were fighting over dinner, which is common. Mm-hmm. I said, how come you didn't order a pizza?
Yeah. Well, because nobody decided.
And that's just it. And you just hit it, Dave, that the mind, when it's so drained and so tired and so fatigued, it locks up and you can't think of the solution.
Well, and here's the thing too. And I'm going to throw men under the bus for a minute here, unfortunately, because I am one, but
I'll defend them.
Here's the thing. Most of the time, and I say this in relationships all the time, I say to guys, I'm like, listen, you know what? Do you know what your partner wants? She just wants you to take control and do it. Don't ask. Don't debate. Don't discuss it. Just take action and do it.
Yeah, to lead.
Dinner is a simple thing. You know, believe me, I've had so many clients. The husband will. They both work, or one of them work. Well, it doesn't matter. But the assumption is, oh, she'll get dinner because she always does it. She doesn't even care what you eat. She wants you to come home and say, get dressed. Don't worry about it. I'm taking you out. You don't have to think about anything.
It's not about you have to cook it.
Right.
It's just take the lead.
Or even if you did, just not even talk about it. Just say, hey, don't worry about it. I got dinner.
Got it.
And then you do it.
And you will become the sexiest man. Or him.
What? I need to find this comedian because there's this comedian. She's a woman and she does this whole bit. And the funny thing is because she's gay.
Yeah.
And she says, listen, guys, I can take your wives today just by doing a dish or washing a shirt. Yeah. I can take them away from you in a second.
Yeah. And you know,
things like that. It's just taking control and making it happen.
And so since you threw the guys, you know, you kind of called them out, I'm going to call the women out a little.
Alrighty.
Because when women get stressed and fatigued and exhausted, they come out of the gate. And I use this term in my app. It's called the machine gun of words. Like they come out of the gate and they'll say, you know, well, what do you want for dinner? What do you want? I don't know what I want. Oh, now I got to pick what you want.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Seriously? Like you can't just tell me. I do this every night. And here comes her resentment that's been building, right?
Uh-huh.
And I always say to women, listen, do me a favor. When you are upset about something, slow down those words. Slow them down. Because first of all, men physically feel those words. Mm-hmm. We don't. As women, we don't. We live in a different part of our brain and we don't feel it. And talk slow and try to do it by saying, I am so tired, honey. I'm so fatigued. I cannot make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
Can you figure out what we're going to do? I don't care what it is. We can go out. I'm not telling you to cook. But be more direct mm-hmm. with what you need.
Right. And what you want.
And what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Because
Mary Grace, I think I know what you might want. You might want more time. Can you believe that we're almost 50 minutes into this already?
I can't.
Wow.
I know. Time's been flying. Oh, so we got about another 5-7 minutes that we can chat before we have to clear the way for another show that wants to record. So if you guys have some final thoughts here for the next 5-7 minutes. But yeah, and just you guys are going to do this every week now. That's kind of what you're thinking.
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to check in with Dave. Yeah, we're going to be on every week, especially, you know, I think this whole Corona stress thing.
Yeah.
And this kind of
was nice. This was nice.
Flipped us into this. So
let the people who are listening, and we want you to come back. We really do, because we want to help you through this. We want to give you some things that you can do, practical things. But we also just want to make you laugh. That's the other thing, too. You know, we might. I don't know. I feel like we should spend part of one of our next couple of podcasts just talking about fun things that we watched or did.
Oh my God, that's a great idea.
Just
really, and I'll find
a distraction.
Out that Italian guy, because he freaking cracked me up this morning.
His name Vito?
You remember? Oh my God, he plays an Italian mother, and he'll play both roles, the husband and the wife. Italians love it because this is exactly how they act. Like, it's really ridiculous. But to kind of just hit on for people and continue with what you're saying, Dave, is we want to make you laugh.
Mm-hmm.
We want to give you tips. The tips today are: don't feed entrapment. This mm-hmm. is transition. This is right. not entrapment. You do have choices. We have wonderful opportunities. We don't want in every single difficult situation, troubling situation, traumatic situation, there are these gifts and these wisdoms. And you don't want to feed fear, get paralyzed, and miss out on the treasures that mm-hmm. really can happen with this experience.
And I want to emphasize that again. And I know I mentioned maybe earlier in the podcast, but there's some great things going on right now. I've seen people doing some great things.
Wonderful.
There's a guy, I think it's an Alan Park, this guy, he's a mechanic, and he's just out fixing cars for free for people who can't afford it. I mean, things like this, these are great human
stories. Oh my God, did you see
that are coming out?
The toilet paper with the red balloon, a neighbor was being funny and put a red balloon in
it.
It says
I didn't see that.
I did see that. It made me chuckle, and then it made me question why I was chuckling at the same time.
Exactly. Yeah, I think the importance of laughter too during mm-hmm. this thing is what we're emphasizing, because yep. you can find the laughter. You've got to connect with people. You've got to vent.
Don't isolate.
And vent.
With people still, we have the technology to do that.
Yes.
Get it out.
Yeah, and get it out. And, you know,
talk to somebody
together. It's no big deal. Bitching and venting and letting it out is going to allow you more space to be able to be more patient and understanding mm-hmm. and not personalize other people's behaviors.
Right.
And I think that is, if there's anything you take from today, I think it's that mm-hmm. you know, you need to laugh and you need to connect and, get this shit out of your system, because uh-huh. stressful. Damn it.
Yeah.
So, you know, hopefully we're going to not let this corona stress take anybody to a place of panic uh-huh. and paralysis where you can't even think. And if you do get to that place, if you are isolated, this is one other thing I just wanted to mention. People, if you are isolated, if you are living alone, there are, you know, self-help groups online. There are meetups online now. There are churches that you can call and say that I'm isolated. Please, mm-hmm. please don't choose to feed isolation, because right. that is very difficult.
Yes.
And, you know, on our next show, on our next couple, we want to kind of tap into the anger issue that's happening at home with some people, some families.
Yes.
Also, Dave, I haven't talked to you a lot, but I do want to figure out ways to help the helpers.
Yes.
My head is spinning about that too. Right.
Absolutely. Well, because we talk to a lot of them. And
we do. We do.
They're in a difficult situation.
A number of them in my caseload. Yeah,
absolutely.
And I had some strategies in my head, and we can present mm-hmm. our podcast.
Absolutely.
So I want to thank everyone for joining us today, and blessings to everyone. And you can connect with us on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, all at Psyched by MG. Did I get them all, Dave? Because Dave always tells me.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you're on Instagram or not.
I don't know.
You don't know. Okay.
My daughter set that up.
If you're looking for me again, it's Motor City Hypnotist. That will link to my clinical site as well. So again,
Right. And so you can go to my web page at Psyched by MG, and that will hook you to my office if people are
doing it. So if you want to it doesn't have to be hypnosis related, but just go to my motorcityhypnotist.com. You can find my clinical area there. If you want to make appointments, and we are doing online telehealth sessions now.
Yeah, which we are all video too.
Insurance. So
now's
the time to talk to somebody. Give us a call.
Yes. And see that as, you know, normal.
Yes.
Don't.
Everybody should be talking to someone.
You know, I know. It's the people who don't that scare the crap out of me. Seriously. Yep. So.
Absolutely.
And on that note, thanks everybody. We'll sign off.
All right, guys, we will talk soon.
You got the music, Jamie. Be safe, everybody. Right. Please laugh once a day at least.